This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
When I was in college, I pretty much broke my mom's heart, and I had gotten saved at age 19 and came back to college, and I did not have a church. I did not have any kind of fellowship at all, Christian fellowship. I was in a fraternity. It was not a service fraternity. It was a partying fraternity. And I think we had some like service things we did on the side, but we met to party. And so I jumped right back into that. And my mom and dad came up to visit. I lived about 2 hours away, and they came up to visit. And my mom told me later on, she said, I cried all the way home. She said, because I knew you were slipping away. And she was right, and I did. That's why I have an affinity for this verse right here when Paul is writing the church at Thessalonica. He said, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Standing fast in the Lord is talking about their position, where they were, that they weren't backing away, they weren't leaving it, they weren't abandoning it and going, you know, outside. And I did for 3 years. And for 3 years, I lived like someone that didn't even know the Lord. It's interesting, though. And I'll tell you this about those of you who have been what, I guess we have phrased, the phrase that's common is backsliders. If you've ever been a backslider, you know this. You know on the inside, you're miserable. Because you know truth, and you've walked away from it. And so, man, I have a heart for people. I believe Easter, people come back, and they'll come back, and we have an opportunity. God has an opportunity to reach their hearts. But here's the good news is, you don't have to come in, back off. You can stand fast and stand strong. And so, and I can testify to that because when I did come back, that was 37 years ago. And so, haven't backed away. And so when Paul is talking and he's writing here, he said, now we live. If you've got a pastor's heart, and I do, you want to see people come in and know the Lord and then stay there and just continue to grow. It's a good life. And so he's writing to the Thessalonian church, and we talked about the fact that this church was under pressure, and they were under pressure from being identified with Christ. They were under pressure. They were under persecution from their countrymen. And they were putting heat on this church, persecuting them. And that can go through all kinds of putting people in prison. It can cutting off business deals, making life tough for them. And they were under this kind of pressure. And yet the scripture tells us, and Paul tells us, that this type of suffering is actually a type of suffering that does take place. We talked about two types of suffering last week. We talked about suffering that takes place with being identified with Christ or being grouped together as a Christian. We're seeing more of that today in America, where people have no problem speaking very disdainfully about Christians and about the Lord. And I've heard people say just horrible things and honestly, 30 years ago, you wouldn't hear that. You wouldn't say those things publicly. And so we're seeing more of that. Shouldn't be surprised. Jesus said it was going to happen. And so there is, some of you have been persecuted individually. Maybe you're the only one in your family. You're the first one in your family that came to Christ, and your family has really persecuted you and made fun of you and laughed at you or cut you off. And we're going to talk about how do you stay strong in those kind of situations, because that's painful. So is there that kind of suffering? Then we talked about the other kind of suffering is when you have to tell your flesh no. And so telling your flesh no. That got a rousing, very enthusiastic response last week. I don't know what y'all's problem is, but they loved it last week here about when you say no to some of the things that you do that you know in your heart are not right, and you say no, and your flesh says, but I want to do it. You say, well, you know, Alan, my flesh never talks to me. You've never dieted in your life then. If you've ever dieted once, you know your flesh will talk to you. It will call to you. It will say, the refrigerator. There's pie in the refrigerator. And the pie will talk to you too. The pie's like, oh, you like me. You want. And you're like, no, no. And your flesh is like, yes, yes. So when you say no, you understand that. So that's, we're not going to talk about dieting, but Paul talks about if you suffer in the flesh, you have It is Peter that talked about, you suffer in the flesh, you cease from sin. So in other words, stopping sinning is not easy. It's a little bit of suffering. But we're talking more about the suffering from being identified with Christ. So I'm going to read, let's read this passage. And this is, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 of 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter. And reading out of the New King James, it'll be up on the screen. Paul's writing, he said, therefore, we can no longer endure it. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. I want you to watch the word faith. That no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, when we told you before, just as we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have us in good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. So as Paul is writing to them, he's writing to them, and he's going to, he mentions over and over again their faith. And so here was Timothy's main objective. He said, I'm going to send Timothy to you. Timothy was like a protege of Paul. You could call Paul his mentor. And Timothy traveled with Paul. And so when Paul would have challenges, often he would send Timothy. He sent Timothy to Corinth. He sent Timothy now to the Thessalonian church. And he sent him for two reasons. He said to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, concerning what you believe. Why? Because what he's recognizing, and we're going to talk about it further, what you believe is very important. What you believe and what you act on is extremely important. One of the reasons that, when I was in college, one of the reasons I'm convinced that I fell away is because I never had anyone encourage me or establish me concerning my faith. I was a believer in Jesus. I was a believer in the Holy Spirit. I'd been filled with the Spirit. I'm a believer in all of that. But what happens is, if you don't get established in it, and if you don't get encouraged in it, it's easy to drift away from it. This is a reason that I know sometimes people think, Alan, you're always big on church. You're always talking about go to church. I recognize the value of church. The value of church is not just so we can come together, sing a few songs, and hear a little message and go home. It is to establish you in your faith and encourage you in your faith. Amen. And you're established. Say, well, Alan, I've heard you preach those things before. Here's the beautiful thing about God's Word. You can preach it over and over and over and over again. And you may get something the 50th time you've heard it that you didn't get the other times. God's Word's alive. Have you ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden you see a verse just kind of jump out to you and you're like, whoa, whoa. Jordan and I finally have stopped trying to share that with one another. A verse would step out and I'm like, whoa, look at this. Look at this. And she's like, mm-hmm. Joy's like, mm-hmm. I've already seen that. Well, thank you very, very much. But the idea is, things can come alive to you. When you hear it over and over again, in fact, that's what teaching does. Teaching is an establisher. It establishes you in what you believe. Preaching often is an encourager. It's a motivator. It encourages you in what you believe. Say, why do we need that? Because we need it because to keep from being shaken in difficult times. He talked to them about their faith. He said, what's going to keep you steady during difficult times? Your faith, what you believe. It's going to keep you steady. And the Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's Word. That's why I always encourage you, read your Bible in your own personal time. Come and hear it. What's it doing? It's establishing you in your faith so you're not shaken. The word shaken means to be disturbed, to be moved. You go through a tough time, and all of us have been there. You go through a tough time. You're going to have to make some decisions. What am I going to do? See, a lot of times people go through difficult times. They'll go back to the last point of that relieve pressure in their life. This is why you'll see somebody go for years and they're doing well, and then they just begin to slip a little bit spiritually. They're not strong spiritually. They hit a hard time, and all of a sudden they're like, why are they doing drugs again? Why are they going back getting drunk again? Why? They're going back to the last place that relieved pressure in their life. Amen. I, I know I'm not talking to anybody here, but you know people. But that's what happened. Listen, when what you believe is strong, you don't have to get high. When what you believe is strong, you don't have to look for something like that to relieve you. You can push right straight through it. He said, I didn't want you to be shaken. He said, I sent Timothy to encourage you and establish you that you're not shaken by this, moved by this. We're right in the middle of one of my favorite sporting events of the year, March Madness. I grew up in basketball country, and so it's been a crazy, my bracket's killed. But I love this time of year. And growing up in North Carolina, they're big on basketball. And I was a Duke fan. And I grew up a Duke fan, just always have been a Duke fan. In Carolina, they say, choose your blue. It's either dark blue or Carolina blue. And so I grew up loving Duke. And they were in the national finals one night. And I was actually going to be in church. There was a meeting and there was a speaker I wanted to hear. And I was going to be in church. So I taped the game. Anybody remember when people used to tape game? I taped the game. And I was getting ready to come home and someone told me who won. Man, that'll test your Christian charity right there. I'm like, oh man. And he's like, oh, I thought you, no, I didn't know. But I went home to watch it anyway because Duke won. But here's the deal. Have you ever, you know the ending? Yes. And then, or someone tells you the ending, and you're watching it, and it looks like, dear Lord, did they tell me the truth? Because Duke was losing bad, and I'm like, but then I was like, no. My friend told me. No, my friend told me. What happened? I didn't get moved. I watched the whole thing. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't talking to the television. I knew what the outcome was. I wasn't shaken. Did Duke win? Yeah, they won. I'm like, yeah, I knew that. Can I tell you that's what your faith will do? Faith means that we find out what the end is before we see the end. You're going through a hard time, but you believe in your heart, I'm going to come through this. You're going through a difficult time, and maybe a scripture came alive in your heart, or maybe the Holy Spirit just whispered something to you, or you heard something, and all of a sudden you just knew that you knew, I'm going to come through this. And if you know you're going to come through this, you don't get as shaken, you don't get as moved, you might be going through a difficult time, but you're like, I know how this winds up, and this winds up with me winning. And boy, when you have that, man, joy is the worst one in our family. You cannot watch a series with her if it's because she will look at the last series, find out everything that's happened. Do not encourage that. Because we're sitting there going, oh, Joy's like. She's like, I know what happens. We're like, don't be quiet. Don't tell us. But you know, when you already know what's going to happen, when you have a sense of what's going to happen, that steadies you out. When you believe you're going to come through something, that steadies you out. And that's, they say, well, Alan, how do I get to the place where I believe? You need to continue to feed your faith, to encourage your faith, to be established in your faith. And what it'll do is it'll keep you from being, from just going back to the same old things. Now, many people know, if you're new to the church, you know I've talked about the fact that I had a drug and party background. I wasn't a hard drug. I wasn't addicted, but I was definitely a weekend warrior, partier, and a big dope smoker. Whenever I would like have a down day, I used to have friends and we'd go, oh man, it was a bad day. Yeah, it's a bad day. Dude, let's smoke a joint. Okay, great. Let's smoke a joint. Here's what I found out. Once I began to walk with the Lord and got a little bit more solid in Him. When I had a bad day, I didn't feel like I needed to smoke a joint. I felt like I could push past that. Now, those of you who never smoked joint or abused anything, you're looking at me like. But here's the deal. Everybody has something in their life that relieves pressure from them. For some people, it's pornography. Yeah, For some, it's shopping. Oh, they're like, oh, no, you didn't just talk about shopping. Oh, no. Like, you can preach, Pastor, but stay off of shopping right now. What I'm asking you is, when pressure hits, what moves you? And the idea is, the stronger you get, and that's why Paul kept writing to them going, how is your faith? What is their faith? How is your faith? What is your faith? He wanted to know what they believed. You notice he didn't even ask what they were going through. He knew they were going through persecution. He didn't want to know all the details. He just simply wanted to go, how is your faith? Where are you in this? You know, and that's a great question. A lot of times we want to talk to people about what their problems are. What are you going through? Oh, man, I'm going through this and this and this and this and this. And we all go through problems. I'm a pastor. I deal with people and their problems all the time. But you know what a better question is? It's not what you're going through. It's what do you believe is going to happen? Did you catch that? What do you believe is going to happen? Oh, we're in a difficult situation with my child. What do you believe is going to happen? And that's where what's in you is going to come out. And that's where you're going to have to begin to say, if you can say, only thing is, I don't know, but I believe God is going to help me. That's where you can stand right there. Because he said he would never leave you or forsake you. And you can boldly say the Lord is your helper. This does that make sense? When pressure hits, what do you believe? And so Paul is writing this Thessalonian church. He's going, where is your faith? What are you believing during this time? And he said, man, I was so comforted when Timothy came back and Timothy told me of your faith and love. So Timothy comes back and goes, Paul, I'm telling you, man, those folks are stout, man. They are staying in there. They're loving one another. They're reaching out to people. They're believing. They're not backing away. You have to understand, these people, when they backed away, they went back into the majority. The churches were a small minority of people. They were idol worshipers. The Jews didn't want them. The idol worshipers didn't want them. It was a difficult situation. And so when you stood, made a stand for Christ, you often stood in the minority. And Timothy comes back and said, they're standing, they're staying there. And that's why Paul said, all the stuff I'm going through, it just comforts me to know, because I live if you stand fast in the Lord. He recognized the value of that. And so when Paul is writing this, and I want to take the last few minutes, and I'm only going to get to one of them tonight. Paul lived, he shared what he lived out. And so he got persecuted one time. We're going to see his faith in action here. So when he's writing to the church, he's not writing them anything, something that's not real in his life. And so I want to read a story. Paul's in the city of Philippi. And this little girl, the Bible says she was possessed. She was possessed with a spirit of divination. And she was a slave, and she made her masters a lot of money telling fortunes. Side note, please don't go to fortune tellers. And so I don't know, years ago they used to have psychic hotlines. I guess those got shut down. I'm sure they're somewhere on the internet. Don't be playing with that. Don't mess with that. Say, well, you know, they said some things that are true. Listen, there's a spiritual world, but not every spirit's a good one. And so just, if someone says, I want to tell your fortune, I want to tell you your future, you snatch your hand back and go, I'm going to tell you my future. I got a great future. I got a future in God, and I got a future in heaven. I got a wonderful future. I see good things for my future. Your future, I'm a little concerned about. So he finally, after this lady went around screaming after them, these men are servants of the Most High God. They show us the way to salvation. After a few days, Paul got irritated. I thought, man, that's pretty impressive, because that would have worked on me about the first 15 minutes. But he turned around and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he cast the spirit out of her. And their masters figured out, because probably, if you've ever been, I've been in countries and I've seen people who are demonically influenced, there's this look in their eyes. And that look probably left her. She's probably like, what? What happened? And they're like, uh-oh. And Paul stood in between people and their money. And they're not happy. Acts 16, verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. This is Paul and Silas. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, everyone's chains were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, but Paul called with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." Now this is you talk about an opportunity to get shaken. This would have been a great opportunity. So they, in a foreign city, cast the demon out of this lady, hit their revenue stream, and that made people mad. And so they stripped their clothes off of them and beat them with rods. The Jews had a law that you could not beat someone over 40 times. You couldn't lay 40 lashes on them. And which is way too many. And so the Jews, just to keep from breaking the law, they would always go to 39. Just to make sure they didn't break the law. "We're going to beat you senseless, but we're not going to break the law." Appreciate that. But they're beating them with rods. Every time I think about that, I think of a number of years ago, some young man from America was, I believe he was caned in one of those, where was he? It was Singapore? They're serious in Singapore. Do not mess with people in Singapore, because they will cane you. And they had these, and they had these canes, and they beat them. So you can imagine being stretched out over something and then beaten with rods with many stripes. And then they throw you in prison and they put your feet in stocks. Now, to me, that would be a great opportunity to be shaken. And thinking, "Oh, man, I quit. This is just, I mean, at least you're complaining. You're God. Why am I here? I'm beaten with rods. I'm just trying to do good in the neighborhood and help some girl out. And now I'm beaten with rods. It's not fair. My feet are in stocks." But here's where you see their faith in action. Here's something that I think is real key. I think oftentimes, too much of the time, and I was raised in the feelings generation, I think too often we wait for a feeling of faith. And I'll be honest with you about feelings. They're fickle. Feelings will come and go. And, you know, sometimes you can just feel like, you just feel like, "Oh, man, I'm on top of, man. I got the devil on the run. I'm on top of the world. I'm great." And sometimes you feel like, "I hope no one told him I'm around. Because I just don't feel." And you know, I feel like God. Heard me, I feel. We live by feelings too much. Faith is more of an action than it is a feeling. And if you catch that, that'll help you. Because sometimes we keep waiting for a feeling. And I've heard people say, I just don't feel the same way I used to feel. I bet you Paul and Silas did not feel like singing hymns with their feet in stocks and their back were bleeding. And they're praying and singing psalms, singing hymns, praising the Lord. How many of you know that you had to go against your feelings to do that? Because your feelings are like, "Oh, dear Lord, let me just lay down here and just hope that I die because I feel horrible and I'm bleeding." But what you saw was their faith in action. Now, in the book of James, James says this. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works." Now, don't get caught up on the word works. But just think about this. If you were to use the word action. Now, I'm going to share something with you tonight. Some of you came here tonight and your actions show your faith. You believe that coming to church was profitable and you showed up. There's some people that thought, nah, don't want to come. And they didn't. You might not have felt like it, but you came anyway. How many of you would ever testify that there have been times you have not felt like coming? You came anyway, and when you left, you're like, "I'm glad I came. That was good. I'm doing better. I'm doing better." Here's the deal. Your faith got you here. And then The feelings followed. Feelings are a good follower. They're not a good leader. If you go by how you feel all the time, you won't ever do very much. Well, just think about this. You know better than that. Anybody wake up this morning, look outside and go, man, what a great morning. I don't feel like going to work. I feel like staying home, going to the lake, throwing a rod in. Then I feel like, but you thought, I like eating on a regular basis. My kids look better when they're well fed. I'm going to go ahead and go to work even though I didn't feel like it anyway. Anybody ever had that? Ever have that? Thank you. So you've learned how to go against your feelings. You've learned how to operate against them. If not, you're constantly unemployed. With our faith, I think it's time we stop asking ourselves, how do I feel about this? And we start asking ourselves, what do I believe about this? So instead of waiting for a great feeling to come along, I just don't feel the same way I used to feel. Forget feelings. I will show you my faith by my actions, what I do, not by my feelings. So that's what James was saying. Someone say, I've got faith. He's like, show me. It's by your actions. You came today, you got more faith than you think. When you tithe, you've got more faith than you think. When you serve, you've got more faith than you think. What are you doing? Your actions are showing, this is what I believe. This is profitable. When you feel like, man, I'm gonna give up on this marriage, and still like, no, I believe the Lord's gonna help me. You've got more faith than you think. When instead of getting all despondent, you decide you're gonna pray about it and trust that God's gonna help you, you got more faith than you think. I think we've sold ourselves short too much. We've asked ourselves too much, how do I feel, instead of what do I believe? I believe God's good. I believe He'll help me. I believe His Spirit lives in me. I believe I can come through this. And now here's the deal. If you begin to say that yourself, it will encourage you even more than what I just did. If you can begin to say to yourself, Lord, I thank you. I don't feel a thing, and I don't know where in the world this is going to come from, but I trust you. I believe you. See, when you begin to do that, this is what Paul talked about. He said, I sent to know your faith. I sent to know what you believe. I didn't send to know your problems. What everyone says. I sent to know, what do you believe? And that's a great question. Maybe we can explore that a little bit more next week. And say, I believe that some of you are going to sign up and volunteer tonight. But I want to give you an opportunity to do that. But here's the thing. Did that make sense to anybody? The light click on? Good? All right, good. Thank you. Four of you. Appreciate all of you. That little error right there. Okay, great. Oh, glory. All right, let's pray. Father, we're grateful. We're thankful. All you've done, all you've said. Thank you, Father. We're learning to walk with you. Father, we just appreciate the ability, the grace to be able to stand strong in you. And Father, for those who have fallen and come back, thank you, Father, they can stand fast. For those of us who have stood fast for years, thank you for your grace to be able to do that. We appreciate all that you've done. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this evening and said, Alan, I don't know that I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm just not sure. I want to be sure, but I'm not. Or maybe you're here and say, I used to be very sure, but I've gotten away from God, and I want to come back, man. This is my night. Well, we're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but we're going to say a prayer, and this is a powerful prayer. It's a simple prayer of faith. We're going to join you with it, but if that's you that I'm talking to, here's an act of your faith. You say, Alan, that's me. I want to be a part of this prayer. Would you pray with me? Would you slip your hand up just across the auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. All up in there? All up there? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I see you way in the back up there. Anybody else? Great. Thank you. Appreciate your courage and your humility. I think that's wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You're thinking, I missed it. No, you didn't miss it, because this is a prayer you can pray from your heart if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So we're going to all pray it out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer tonight. Father, many hands went up, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you that that act of faith and their confession brings about salvation, restoration, and life. We thank you for that. We give you all the praise for it. And Father, this week, thank you. We'll stand fast in you. We'll be strong in you. We believe good things are going to happen because you're a good, good God. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.